Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. The same as last week, we are going to speak to you today as leaders, formal or informal, in your small or mid-sized business, your government office, or your not-for-profit enterprise, or just in your department or your task force. For that matter, we'll speak to you as a volunteer leader in your church or community. How can you, as a leader, inspire your colleagues and those reporting to you, either permanently or on this project, to restore growth and excellence and move forward with collective momentum in the new year? Before introducing today's guest, let me tell you a little bit more about some of the features in my business leadership book, Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. As I mentioned last week, our book's mission is to recreate and re-energize lagging enterprises and their participants midstream. You know, you and I spend most of our waking hours at work, so if we're going to have a renewed, happy second half of life, it's pretty important that we have a good time while we're at work, that we're positive, and also, of course, that we're more productive, because if you're not productive in these days and times, you're going to fall behind. Ask yourself if any of these signs are present in your business or not-for-profit. They are signs which occur well in advance of deteriorating bottom line, and I call them in my book early warnings, human early warning signs of employee disengagement and lack of commitment. Sign number one is increasing leadership isolation. As a leader, do you really know where your employees are mentally, and for that matter, where your customers are? Who do you spend the bulk of your time with, playing golf with fellow leaders or in these business roundtable discussions just with somebody on your own level? Or do you get out and remain in routine contact with your frontline employees? Do you seek input and understand challenges that are faced by your managers and employees at all levels? Do you know where they're coming from and what's really bothering them? Do you routinely collaborate on projects with employees with different types of expertise, regardless of their location on the so-called organization chart, which more and more is becoming a tool of a bygone era? Do you communicate with everyday customers? And I'm not just talking about these high rollers, fellow executives that you take out to the country club or on the boat. I'm talking about the person who makes a purchase maybe once or twice a year. Do you know where they're coming from? Warning sign number two is what I call employee burnout. Are your employees motivated, including those who are recently passed over, who are those that are not really expecting a promotion? You know, it's great to be motivated when you're hoping to get a big raise or a new job, but it's also important that you have incentives to keep your employees engaged at all times, whether they're passed over or not. Are your employees granted ample time out to enjoy life away from the workplace? Sure, there'll be occasional crunches. All businesses have them, but you can't have a crunch all the time. You can't expect your employees to work every weekend and give up their personal life. You want to hear the worst example I can ever remember? When I was in the first company I worked for out of college, we were in a very busy time of the year, and I actually had a boss that asked one of my colleagues. His wife had just had a new baby, and this boss actually had the audacity to ask this fella if he could arrange for somebody else to take his wife and new baby home from the hospital because he was simply too busy at work and they couldn't spare him for the afternoon. And by the way, there are two forms of burnout. One is obviously the too much work and not enough time to do everything, but you also can experience burnout from not having enough to do, not having meaningful projects, and just twiddling your thumbs doing meaningless work that doesn't have any real purpose or any real excitement in performing the work. And I can speak to that because I have suffered from both those forms of burnout sometime in my career, and neither of them, believe me, are much fun. Let me give you one more warning sign. Warning sign number three, events appear to be managing us. You learn of a competitor's new product that beats the heck out of our product only from their TV commercial. You learn of a new government regulation from the evening news. You learn of customer dissatisfaction or of a serious service problem only after two of your biggest clients leave the company. And, you know, leaders of backsliding enterprises seldom fully are in control of their destinies. Rather than initiate positive change or rather than staying on top of what's really going on out there, they're always struggling to keep up or react to external pressures. There's no real relationship with key customers. That's generally why they don't know what's going on. And there's no circles of cooperation within your company or with customers, distributors, and suppliers. And if you're not keeping in touch and cooperating all along with all those groups, you're not going to succeed very long. And there's no resting on past laurels in business anymore, as we all know. Customers all want to know, what have you done for me lately, and what improvements are in the pipeline right now to help me out tomorrow? Well, we discuss eight additional human early warning signs in my book, Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines, and I invite you to preview the book and obtain a free gift at our website, www.middleagerenewal.com. Now let's move on to today's outstanding guest. Well, this week we will continue to discuss the third of our six R's of midlife renewal, recharge your lagging business or not-for-profit enterprise for maximum results in the new year. And once again, we will be speaking to you as a leader, formal or informal, in your workplace. As we discussed last week, customers provide your cash flow, but your employees top to bottom, including yourself, are priority number one, because without full employee engagement and commitment, customers won't come in the first place, and if they're not satisfied with what they purchase, they will probably not return. Are you eager to return to a restaurant where the servers are aloof, they're uncaring, and they don't really act like they don't really want to be there? Even if the food's excellent, you probably don't want to come back, but the food usually isn't that good anyway if the employees aren't committed. Would you purchase another auto from a car dealer where the service department is always messy, the mechanics rude, and the problems are never fixed? I don't think so. And I firmly believe that if you effectively engage your employees at all levels, your business will take off, and they will sell your product, and you will sell your product for you. Our guest today is Dr. Bob Wright, and he's here to talk about effective transformation in your workplace, and it all begins with you, the leader. Dr. Wright is an internationally recognized visionary, educator, program developer, author, speaker, entrepreneur, and executive coach. I guess he takes a little time out for sleeping once in a while. And he's co-author with his wife, Dr. Judith Wright, of the brand new book, Transform, The Science of Spectacular Living. And he certainly is an example himself of transformed living, and we're honored to have him on the program. Hello, Dr. Bob, and welcome.
Hello, Roy. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's begin with a hypothetical example. My business is lagging. I'm a middle-aged owner or a CEO of a struggling small or mid-sized business. My profits are down, my morale very low, turnover high. I've been around for a while and worked my way up, but what used to work doesn't seem to work anymore. And in the past 6 weeks, I've lost three major accounts, and two other customers have significantly cut back their orders, and a competitor just launched a product that makes one of my lines obsolete. I've hired you as a business coach and consultant to diagnose my problem and get our company back on track. Where should I begin?
Well, I think the beginning is it's very obvious that I need to transform, if that's me, because my marketplace is changing.
Yeah.
My staff are not fully engaged, and transformation seems to be in order.
Yes, I would say so. But the next question is, what questions would you ask me, or how would I get started to transform yourself?
Well, you know, I think we can actually go a lot more personally than that and less hypothetically, because I was in roughly that situation coming into the new year. As a matter of fact, I woke up New Year's Day having had a nightmare, what I thought was a nightmare, that was deeply disturbing to me. And we had just found out a little before that that we'd had an embezzlement from our accountant, who had obfuscated our books, confused everything, left us thinking we were in better shape than we were, so that he could play games and embezzle. So this is a true story, and I was having some pretty deep, dark thoughts. The only thing we didn't have is we have a very stable staff and a customer body. But we did need and have needed to transform for a while. And so I woke up thoroughly depressed before my wife got up, and I was rereading our book, because we're doing our book tour right now. And I was reading the part of our book about your yearning, and the Transformers yearn. And I wasn't really in touch with my deeper yearning, and I read the book, and I started going, oh my God, you know, I've got to be more deeply in touch with what matters to me, because yearning is something that allows us to be satisfied and fulfilled all the time. So I was just starting to come out of it when my wife Judith wakes up and she comes and talks to me. I says, you know, honey, I just realized I'm not really waking up expecting to be fulfilled and satisfied every day all the time.
That's pretty bad when the author of the book doesn't follow his own advice.
Well, actually, I was following my advice. Life happens in cycles. Yeah, life happens in cycles. And so, you know, anything has ups and downs. And I was, in fact, reading the book, following my own advice. And she was able to underline it, and I started feeling a world better. And that got me really back on a positive track. So I was starting to move pretty well. Then I had a leadership training. So we start every year with 30 leaders who spend a week, every morning and every night of the week, for a week. We all plan our years, and we work on how to have the best years. And so I practice what I preach. I was working with them, and they helped me see how much business I was leaving on the table, and totally reoriented me and coached me into our next level of where our company needs to be going.
Yeah, that's sometimes a shock like that can wake you up into, if you have the right attitude and are looking toward the positive instead of concentrating on the past negative, it can lead you to new discoveries and new levels.
Well, yeah, and so that was a key part of re-energizing your business for all of us. Is we have to be more engaged. Your tire, your car doesn't go forward when it's on glare ice and the tires are spinning.
No.
When we are yearning, and our tires get on the pavement, and then the next step of transformation is when we actually follow that yearning. And our yearnings are always very simple: to be seen, to be affirmed, to love, to be loved, make a difference. And so we may have big goals that require a long time to achieve them. But transformation is a step-by-step process of yearning, engaging, and then learning about myself. So I yearned, I engaged, and I shared what I was feeling and thinking with the leadership group, and they helped me revelate. They helped me see where I was stuck and where my business needed to go, so that I could then follow that next step and liberate and move forward, and I'm working pretty heavily on transforming the company now.
So you would highly recommend that as one aspect of recovery in business, that, say, leaders talk to other leaders and, like, form the type of group you talk about, or if they can associate with such a group, that it sounds like it's very valuable to have other people around you that to talk out things like this.
Yeah, absolutely. The first leadership group that I put together in 1991 is still together, minus two or three members, and most of the members have made it to very significant levels of success, some of them national prominence in their fields.
That's great. Well, say that I'm proceeding along the way to pretty good transformation in myself following the earnings, and I also, unlike a lot of people, I don't just yearn, I actually start engaging, and I'm making some progress. But how do I get my employees involved with me so that it's a joint and corporate collective effort and not just myself that's changing?
Well, one of our favorite subjects is transformational leadership. And transformational leaders have four characteristics. And one of those key characteristics is they care what their employees think.
Amen.
They have a sense of vision, and they engage the employees in fulfilling the vision. So the employees have a greater sense of meaning, and they feel like they matter individually to the leadership.
Yeah, and they also are willing to take responsibility because they feel like they mean something and that their job is important. And if the leader communicates with them and wants to really know what their opinion is on things and gets them involved, I'm sure that's a big plus as well.
Absolutely. That's the byproduct when you have transformational leadership. And I have a dear friend who was CEO of a company he was one of the first employees, but he was CEO from $6 billion to $50 billion, and he prided himself on the fact that the employees mattered, that they had huge potential, that there was a powerful vision for them, and they owned it.
Yeah, that
they innovated.
That's such a crucial. There's so many, especially in small businesses, there's so many businesses where it's me, the owner, and us, the employees. It's always you versus them. If you can get that ownership, even in a small business, through some kinds of incentives or whatever, and just recognition for work outstanding, that's such a major step upward.
Well, it's so important. I had a phone call with a potential client today where the general manager is very positive and gets people engaged, but the ownership is constantly demeaning the employees and discounting their value.
That's fabulous. That's a good way to lose employees. Hopefully that the owner stays in the background or
gets with the program and starts appreciating people.
Yeah, I know. That's like the outstanding manager in a baseball team, but the owner is real negative about the players. It doesn't help. Sound kind of like old George Steinbrenner years ago.
Well, yeah, I could mention some worse closer to home here in Chicago. We've got some really good ones, and we've got some that I question.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no matter how good my products and services, the backbone of success in any organization is the seasoned onboard employees. And how do we best transform mid-career managers and staff from the old line conformists into the new economy thinkers? I think you were kind of hitting the nail on the head before.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to start at the extreme level of this. I was having breakfast recently with the CTO of one of the very cutting-edge technology organizations in the world that we all use, and he was telling me that technology is exploding so rapidly that they cannot tell their staff what to learn in the CTO area. Huh. They actually can only give the staff $6,000 a year and say, go learn what you need to learn to take us forward.
Oh, wow.
So isn't that something?
Yeah.
So he has to have highly motivated people who understand that they need to transform themselves in order to transform the business and who are hungry to learn and to grow. One of the problems with managers mid-career is oftentimes they've settled into habit and they've lost contact with their deeper yearning.
And they also get very attached to those perks that they may have and, you know, that title that may not be the best organization structure anymore with constant change. And we have to somehow be motivating them to give up some of those things for rewards in other ways.
Well, to be sure, the golden handcuffs are a problem. However, our way to approach that is to always, when a manager has lost motivation, they've generally stopped engaging fully. They've stopped yearning fully. They've stopped taking the risks they need to take. So it's not about giving up the perks, but it's risking the perks.
Yeah, but how do you get them to risk new perks or to risk new
Well, that's we introduce people to the transformational technology in our Transform Weekend. We use it to introduce people to our Year of More. So the first thing they need to do is reawaken their awareness to their emotions, their fears, their hurts, their angers, their sadness, and their joy, and because there's data in those.
Yeah, there is, and if you don't really understand what's holding you back or why you have certain dislikes and fears, and then you don't really understand how to overcome them, I don't think.
Well, or how to follow them and use them. See, we think there's very valuable information in them.
Yeah.
And you know, if I'm afraid, the question is, what's the danger? And what, first of all, what is the risk-reward to me facing that fear and doing what I'm afraid of?
Yeah, that's true.
Because a lot of times I'm missing the reward because I'm unwilling to pay the risk. Our unconscious mind is designed to avoid risk.
Yes, it certainly is. We had a program a while back where we talked about the pig and the ape was avoid unintended consequences or something like that. And people often live their lives, you know, the other was personal gratification was the pig, instant gratification.
Yeah, that's hedonism. Yep.
Well,
and that leads to a lot of addiction.
Assuming that I get my colleagues to a new level of excellence, how do I best, well, we talked about this, but how do I prevent a relapse? Because it's so easy to reach a new level in your company, and these days, like you say, innovation is so rapid, it just doesn't work. How do you keep constantly changing things and keeping people motivated and not threatened by these constant movement that's required?
Well, I'd go to something very mundane. Are your business meetings engaging? Is there real conversation in the meetings? Do people deal with the conflict in meetings, or do they deal with it in the hallway after meetings?
Yeah, water cooler gossip.
Yeah.
No, that's very true. It's communication is, and it's so important that I knew a company one time that they kept hiding the fact that they were in trouble, the people at the top, and you know, every week I'd talk to, I was a wholesale insurance broker, I was dealing with this insurance company, and every week the my contact there would tell me about some other bad thing that was happening that he hadn't even anticipated, and obviously not knowing really how bad his company was doing, it sort of robbed him of all motivation, and pretty soon I didn't want to do business with him anymore, and they went out of business shortly after. But I think if you say we're all in this together and you communicate fully what the problems are and then you attack them as a group, understanding that there may be consequences for everyone from the top on down, but that we're all on the same ship together, that sometimes can help make a world of difference.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, as a long and distinguished career as a business coach, give us a couple of strategies that would help to ignite explosive growth in sales and profitability this year. Get us back on track, in other words.
Well, the first thing is that a lot of times business owners forget that we are the spark plug for our business.
Yeah.
And we forget that we're selling all the time. And one of the things we sell people on is being engaged. The other things we sell them on is our products and our services.
Yeah.
But I've got to sell the people, and I've got to sell myself on being everything I can be. So saying those words is easy. But what we've found in our research, especially in the first chapter on yearning in our book, yeah, is that you've got to be able to reawake your yearning so you have greater satisfaction and fulfillment every day. So it's not just about how do I hype myself up. It's actually how do I get myself nourished.
Yeah, that's right.
So once I'm getting myself nourished, then I find that my contact with people is more fulfilling. They feel better about the contact. They feel more nourished. They engage more. I engage more. We learn more. We try new behaviors. We're willing to make mistakes. And we slowly reprogram our company into its next way of operating, which needs to happen in today's marketplace that's changing so fast.
Yeah, you're talking about energy suppliers as opposed to energy drainers, which certain people...
Well, actually, we are designed to be energy generators, but we've learned in our early childhood certain strategies that cause us to avoid pain more than to achieve pleasure. So it's really about taking charge of our lives. So transformers generally are taking charge of their lives. They're stretching. They are facing their fear. They are learning from what hurts and what doesn't hurt. Their anger causes them to remove barriers. It causes them to get the help they need, and they experience greater joy and satisfaction.
Yes, that's for sure. No, I love that point you made about regular meetings and meaningful. You attack small little issues and large issues, but you do it on a routine basis, and nobody feels threatened because you're always engaging, and everybody gets to express their ideas and their objections, and you discuss it out and communicate up and down. And I think that's a great way to attack change.
Yeah, and one of the critical pieces for us as leaders is to understand that most people are afraid of us. And if we want them to participate, we have to bite our tongue sometimes.
Yeah, and so many leaders try to relate to people, but they really don't effectively do that. Like the guy, I've told this story before, but there was a fellow I talked to one time that worked for an insurance company, and when the CEO used to come around and be your buddy and ask how you were doing and stuff, people got so tired of that because he wasn't very sincere that they would pick up their phone when he was in the area and pretend they were on a conversation with someone else so that they wouldn't have to relate to him.
Yeah, that's sad.
I can also remember a company I worked for one time where we routinely had a Monday morning staff meeting that the owner and the boss insisted upon, and it was not really the collaborative type, what are the problems? It was just a formal routine we went through every week where people would have to sit around and tell what they were going to do the next week, and nobody really wanted, you know, we weren't really collaborating with each other anyway, and no one really wanted to hear. But it was just a real meaningless and time waster.
Yeah. Yeah, it people know when something's bogus.
Yeah.
And if they know when they're being included and whether they make a difference. Sometimes it takes them a while to trust. I went into an organization as a consultant once and told people that we were going to get something done. 2 years later, we were getting it done, and people came up to me and says, you know, you're the first person that's ever been in here and said we were going to get something done, and we've gotten it done.
Oh, that's great for you, but kind of an indictment.
It's a very sad statement, isn't it?
It is. Well, we seem to be slowly recovering from the deep 2008-2009 recession. But a number of businesses seem to be really cautious about it, and they're still kind of hunkering down. How can I, as CEO, go against the trend and gear up my business while everyone else is still, real cautious and kind of winding down?
Well, what we work with, there are 24 million businesses in the United States.
Wow.
And only 10% of them make $1 million a year or more.
Hmm.
And so most of us are pretty small. And what that means is we're all salespeople.
Yeah,
we have
true.
To learn to sell. And sales is fantastic because it follows my yearning to engage with others. And it gives me a chance to learn, to grow, on how I'm going to serve people, how do my products and services need to adapt. And the best thing we can do is get out in the world and start selling our butts off.
Yeah, even, informally, when you're out at a party or something, you can be proud of where you work and engage people and tell them about the good things you're doing and sell the company that way. And certainly when you call in with a problem on your computer and you finally get a live person, hopefully that person is a real salesperson for the company by helping you and genuinely being interested in your problems rather than just bored. And that's always intimidating to me when I'm talking to some computer jock about it. And he tells me what to do from 5,000 miles away in India or wherever. But if it's done right, it can be a sales.
Well, that's really it, isn't it? To be interested in solving problems, whether I'm at a cocktail party or whether I'm on a service call in my business, do people feel that I care about them, that I'm interested in them? And that satisfies our deeper yearning that we found that transformers are constantly engaging, following their yearning, and the research was just amazing.
Yeah. Tell people how they can obtain your new book, Transformed. It sounds like something that a lot of people would like to read, and you were nice enough to send me a copy, and I reviewed it, and it's highly enlightening. Where would they go to get that?
So my website is bobwright.com.
Nice.
And there's actually a free two-chapter download of the book to get you going on it and to get you to see. And we have some other products that are available there. And with the purchase of the book, you can attend our introductory weekend called Transform, where we teach you some of the skills that are outlined in the book. And it's the beginning of our year-long program of transformation.
Boy, that sounds like something that would really be worthwhile. What's that website again? Isn't that www.drbobwright or dr?
Yeah, www.drbobwright, drbobwright.com or www.bobwright.com.
Oh, okay, so you've got a lot of choices there.
Yep.
I know they all somewhat go to the same place, but no, I would highly recommend that you visit his website because there's a lot of good information there. And we certainly thank you for being on our program today and highly encourage our listeners to check in and think about ways to get their business going again and transform both themselves and their employees during the new year. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Bob.
Thank you, Roy.
Well, those of you who are regular listeners know that the title of my first book is A Midlife Challenge Wake Up, Waking Up at Middle Life or at Middle Age to the Bountiful, Productive, and Joy-Filled Second Half You So Richly Deserve is what our program is all about. And today I'm going to tell you about a website which ties in perfectly with our mission. It's called BoomersActiveAndAlive.com, and the site's homepage asks, what will make your life most fulfilling? The site goes on to point out that too many men and women at middle age let their visions and desires become someday things. In my book, I talk about the hollow someday when promise that we so often make to ourselves that sadly in our latter years become a mournful if only, and we certainly don't want that. The creator of Boomers Active and Alive is with us today, and her name is Vicki Townsend, and she's a certified midlife coach, and she's a boomer herself. Vicki's stated mission is to provide you the information and resources you need to help you fulfill your dreams and bring your visions to life. And hello, Vicki, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, thank you very much, Roy. I'm really looking forward to our time together.
Well, to start, tell us about your own life experience, how you awakened and began a whole new chapter in your life at age 50.
Well, I did. I was prompted as I neared 50, and I think we all sort of have that sense of time passing in middle age. And at the same time, my daughter had started college. My husband and I had become an empty nester. And it was finally sort of time for me to focus on what did I want now for that second half of my life? And it was acknowledging that the career I'd been in was no longer fulfilling. Parts of it I enjoyed. But I was really looking for something that would give me more flexibility in my time and also be able to make more of a difference in people's lives. Yeah. So it took me about 8 months of searching and really speaking to people, and it was sort of serendipitously how I heard about life coaching and the Coaches Training Institute. But once I found it, checked out the website, I remember saying to my husband, Bill, that it was almost too good to be true because it was exactly what I was looking for.
Well, that's the type of experience. Not everyone needs to change jobs, but find fulfillment in their present job or find fulfillment in their lives in general is what it's all about. And frankly, Vicki, I can't recall any website with a mission so closely in sync with this program. And what are some of the midlife topics that you discuss on your site?
Well, one of the things I start with is health and wellness.
Yeah, because if we don't have that, it's tough to have anything else, really.
Yeah, we start there because there are studies that say that after 50, lifestyle becomes more important than genes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't be blaming our parents anymore for if we have that midlife paunch or little belly that we start getting. So it's really I took the holistic approach, and part of it was based on my own experience with my husband. Around that time, he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer, so it really caused us to take a look at our lifestyle and what we could do, what changes we could do to help support him. And so I included, I did some research, and one of the books I found was the book that talks about fitness after 50.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where some of the information came from. But I also included, I think one of the biggest challenges in life, in health and fitness and wellness, is we all know what we're supposed to do, but we don't stay motivated
very
well.
Done, right?
That's right. So I included, that's why I've included, I took a coaching approach and I included a health review and a fitness review, and there's links on the health and wellness page that takes you to those reviews, and it's a sort of a mini questionnaire, mini assessment to help you find out what, you know, where are you in your fitness and health, where are you now, and ways to motivate yourself, what will motivate yourself to make the changes you need to make. And I also included a section on tips and ideas that you can begin to incorporate. And, you know, even if you only incorporate one or two of the tips and ideas that I have, over time, those can make, you know, small changes that you make a big difference.
Yeah, I love that tips, exercises, and assessments you have on your website. I know you had some real good ones for a career change that somebody that's contemplating that, the kind of tips they would think about. And there's just a number of fascinating subjects. Another one of my favorites at work, my wife and I are kind of contemplating, is downsizing, or as my wife's friend calls it, right-sizing, because we have a house way too big for, you know, our kids are grown and gone, and it gets kind of tough to maintain. We have a lot of rooms we aren't even using. And
well, that's right, and there's the emotional part of it when you downsize and leaving a home that you've many, many years often.
How to figure out what to get rid of.
Yeah, the stuff to get rid of, and there's a sentimental attachment. And I know in talking to professional organizers that specialize in helping seniors and boomers downsize is that people are more willing to let go of furniture or let go of pieces. Even if there's a sentimental attachment, they're able to let go of it if they know that somebody else who's in need will be able to use it.
Yeah.
And I think if you sort of take that mindset as you're getting downsizing, that makes it a little bit easier to let go.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your newsletter, Active and Alive, and how can our listeners subscribe to that? I know that brings like updated tips periodically, or what's that all?
That's
about?
Right. I created the newsletter partly to let people know when I do have new information on the website. I just put on a new page about budget travel options.
Oh.
And
again,
I see
topic.
Yeah, that's a new one, and I put that in because sometimes people think, you know, money stops them from thinking of traveling, and there are a lot of options that are available to either reduce or eliminate the accommodation costs in travel. So I put
I was interested in an article you had on staying at monasteries and convents, even if you're not particularly religious or the same.
No, it doesn't. Regardless of your religious affiliation, it doesn't matter. And Bill and I stayed at the Maison de Seminaire when we were in Nice in France, and it's a beautiful location overlooking the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
And the cost was about half of what it would have been.
Yeah, when you think about the cost of those Mediterranean hotels around here.
Yes, exactly. So, and it was nice because we could have our meals there if we chose to, and sometimes we did, and sometimes we just walked to a nearby restaurant, but it was lovely.
When you want something
a
little more.
I do recommend it.
Yeah, no, you offer a wealth of information for free, but you're also available as a midlife coach for people seeking live one-on-one or small group interaction. Tell us about your six-week My Life's New Chapter coaching program.
So I've designed that. I can work with clients one-on-one, and I do. That's mainly I work with clients one-on-one, and I do coaching. Coaching is done by telephone, so geographics doesn't come into it. I get to coach you from the comfort of your home. And the group program I usually keep the group programs limited in size, and again, they're done virtually, and it's really taking the time to starting by reflecting on your life journey, because in midlife you have a wealth of life experience, and taking stock, and you know, what do you want to include, what parts of that you really enjoy and you want to include as you move forward, and what, you know, reconnecting with the dreams, what are the dreams you put on hold, and really reflecting on the past to see what you want to include as you move forward.
Yeah, you reflect on the past, not with regret, but only the positives to build on. That makes so much sense.
That's right. And so from there, and then it's beginning to we look at what are your values, and the values are not your morals, but it's really about your values are like a compass that points to what's true to yourself. So we help uncover your values, so that's where fulfillment is when you're living your life honoring your values,
that's
you feel
sure.
fulfilled. And so we
spend
time
and
looking at that.
You also have counseling for both, not only small groups and individuals, but also couples sometimes do it together, I guess.
Yes, partners. I do a couples program, especially for couples that have become an empty nester either in retirement or nearing retirement, because it's interesting what happens, and this has shown up at some of my seminars, is that each spouse has a different vision or different expectations of what that new chapter in their life is going to be, what their retirement life is. And not only different expectations of a vision, but they also have sometimes a different expectation of their part that their spouse is playing in that vision. And
that's a problem my wife and I are having right now.
Yeah.
Dedicating so much time to this program and promoting my book and everything, and I really need to bring her more into
So it's really finding ways to, my role is to, you know, connect again with what are the values beneath each of the visions and really bring harmony into the vision. And sometimes when one spouse understands why that particular vision is so important for their partner, then it leads to a better understanding of you know, what's going on for them, and then they're better able to support it.
Well, how best can someone learn more about your coaching program and sign up if they want to? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so if you'd like to get more information about my coaching, they can do so by going to my coaching website, which is called www.lifesnewchapter.com, and that's L-I-F-E-S newchapter.com.
Oh, okay. So you have a separate website
there
for that they should go to then.
Yeah.
And the website we've been talking about is spell out just how people go to the Boomers Active and Alive. I know you have to put dashes in.
Yes, you do, and it's www.boomers-active-and-alive.com.
Yeah, and don't forget those dashes between
don't
each word, or who
dashes.
Knows where you'll go.
That's right.
Well, that's our program for today, and thanks to you, our listeners. It's because of you that we remain on the Internet and have great guests like Vicki. And thank you, Vicki Townsend, for introducing us to your outstanding website and your midlife coaching program.
Well, thank you, Roy, very much. I've enjoyed our time together.
And please join us again on our next program when we will address another one of the vital six R's, as I call them, of midlife renewal, and never forget, always remember, your best years are ahead of you. Now go on out and have a great day. See you next time.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.